on 1278 and 1530 AM on DAB Digital Radio, on the Pulse 2 app and online at pulse2.co.uk. This is the Robbie Hunter Paul Show with Aaron the Power Bauer, Super Mario Elliot Minchella, the Reggae Warrior Ross Peltier, and Robbie Hunter Paul.
G'day and g'day and welcome to the Robbie Hunter Paul Show live here at Pulse 2 Studios. No, there's no Aaron Bauer here this evening. There's no Elliot Minchella, but we do have a brand new face to call our own. It is none other than the Grand Game Caller himself, Michael Gliddle. Round of applause, Michael. Welcome to the Robbie Hunter Paul Show, mate.
Yeah, great to be here, Robbie. Great to be alongside Ross and yourself and producer Brooks. So yeah, it's a real pleasure.
And as you just mentioned, we do have the Reggae Warrior himself next to me also. Ross Peltier. Ross,
yep.
Got back on the field.
Yep, I'm back.
He's back. All right, we've got a busy show for you this evening. The normal structure, as per normal, as we started off in 2019. In this segment, we're going to catch up, have a look at how the Bulls went this weekend. And it was a big weekend because we just followed up from the Challenge Cup draw. The draw itself was done on the Monday evening, and what a draw it was for the Bradford Bulls especially. We've got the big Rugby League weekend coming up this weekend with the Easter weekend. Two games over the course of the weekend. We'll be hearing from our Amateur All-Star Club of the week. We'll also get a 30-second blast from the boys. Your questions in segment three, and then we'll be mopping up looking ahead to the two games this weekend, and that is on Bank Holiday Friday and the Monday weekend. So massive show, so let's get into it. Boys, Ross,
yep.
Back on the field. Tell us about it.
Yeah, back.
Did you make the splash that you said you were going to make, how you were going to be rolling people over the place, people were left in bits and pieces? Carnage, you were talking it up.
He were all right. He went bad. For so long out, you know, I was happy with my performance, really. I think, you know, John said he was happy with my performance. Yeah, he got some good minutes in it. I'm feeling a lot fitter than I was, I'd say, last season and that. You know, played 30 minutes straight, second half. That would have been a task before, but it wasn't as bad this. So, yeah, I went well.
You're looking good.
Yeah, just...
You're trim, man.
Yeah, just build on it and just keep getting better.
You know, because in 2018 you were playing every game, and let's be honest, that the competition wasn't the toughest week in, week out. Do you think that you let yourself slip a little bit? Because look, you're looking lean, you're looking mean.
Didn't have to try as hard as... So I'm not going to lie. Yeah, it was a thing of that, you know. Last time, you know, when we was in Championship, you know, I was a lot lighter than I was last year, and you know, getting back to that shape, training stepped up, and obviously with the injury, I could just run a lot, so I've been doing a lot of running, and yeah, once I find that game fitness, you know, I feel like I'll be in a good way.
So game fitness, generally it takes, you know, used to take me at least one game, maybe two games, to get back to my playing weight, but you've been of the bigger persuasion.
Yeah,
big donkey from the middle of the park. What are you thinking? Two games, three games,
yeah,
four
well,
games?
Yeah, well,
30 minutes. That's a mad stretch.
Yeah, two games back to back. You know, playing this Friday. So, two games.
Whether you like it or not,
in quick succession. You know, I think I'll get. I think after Friday, I should be all right. I should be back up to speed. And you know what better way to see it in with another West Yorkshire derby, you know.
Yeah.
Bradford Halifax, it's a big game.
Let's talk about that in a second. Mick, obviously, calling the game for Pulse 2 MDL. Big win. Having to come from behind. What were your thoughts about the game? Really had to claw their back. You know, John Kerr himself, Crossley, a number of the players saying the better team lost.
Well, I think you've got to be brutally honest and, you know, the best team did lose, because for 70 minutes, that was Featherstone.
Nah.
And every player I've spoken to, certainly involved at the
Bradford
Bulls.
Except for Ross.
I think Ross...
Nah. I had a dispute with people because you can't be the best team and lose. I don't know where that comes from. They want the best over the time of the game. They lost the game, so they want the better team. If they were the better team, they'd have won. They didn't win.
I know what they're saying.
They said,
I've played in games where I've been a part of the dominant 13, 17 on the field, and you got full control, and you just, at the final pass, the 11th hour, you just can't get over the trial and you can't turn it into points. And yet you feel like you're complete control of the game. And every little opportunity that they get, and they only get a few, they capitalise on.
Yeah.
But this was a little bit different.
Yeah.
What you did was turn the game around.
I put it to people like this. I say, would you rather play ugly and win or play some of the best stuff you've ever played and lose?
Play ugly and win.
Exactly.
Every day of the week.
That's
Nick,
the main
what
thing.
Would you rather watch?
Especially when the Challenge Cup's concerned.
Yeah. That's
look,
right.
Look what's happened
and
now.
And have we not just again seen the magic of the cup?
Yeah.
Featherston have got this. They've got the game. It's done and done and dusted. And 15 minutes to go. The game's over.
I wrote
them
off.
Magic.
Do you know what? I actually wrote them off.
If you heard after Fev's
commentator's curse.
After Fev's last try.
Do it every time.
Yeah.
After Fev's last try, Gaz Carvel's run on and he's been like, "Come on, lads. You know, let's restore some pride. Otherwise, it's going to get a bit embarrassing. It's going now." But I think what we're saying in
review. That's restoring pride. Definite restoration of pride.
I think when we were talking, you know, George Lilly and Rowan and the boys, they just thought, well, we've got nothing to lose now. So we just threw our caution to the wind and started to play a lot more. And I think, you know,
so basically
we should
do that more. So what you're saying is that you threw JK's game plan out the window. And said, it's not working for us. We're doing it ourselves. I'm only joking, JK.
No, I think, yeah, it's one of them.
Or actually, JK, did they actually start playing to what you told them to do in the first place?
And
I don't know.
And I think, you know, we see Fev started to look a bit tired, you know, because they put a lot of effort in. And I think in their minds, they thought, yeah, they even thought, well, we've put it to bed now. And then we've scored a try and we're thinking, oh, we've scored, yeah. Then we scored another. Thinking, hang on a minute.
Hang on, here we go. And then, look, isn't it weird? You get into that rhythm. And it's like the floodgates open, and what you haven't been doing for, 65 minutes, all of a sudden, everyone's turning up on time. Mm. Everyone's a little bit stronger, a little bit faster. Mm. Everyone's tackling together. You've been on the back foot for 65 minutes, so where do you find the energy to do that in the last 15 minutes? Where does it come from?
You know,
it's magic.
Yeah. Energy-wise, you know, we've been doing a lot of work and we've been working hard. So energy-wise, we're always going to have energy for the full 80. And I think just that belief, you know, that belief in the boys. And it's one of them. We want winning the ruck. And I think that's what killed us. And then we started to control the ruck a little bit more as the game went on. And then next minute, you know, Jord Lilly pulls off a miracle catch and put down and... Yeah.
Like I say, I go back to when you were playing, Robbie, from all 1997, that Easter Tuesday game.
Yeah, yeah.
Bradford are down 26-6.
I wasn't playing in that one. But what a game.
Bradford are down 26-6.
I reckon the greatest comeback ever.
Well, it's
and you're saying it's in that ballpark.
It's still voted the greatest comeback in Super League history. I know Wigan got one over us a couple of years later after that, but, you know, still to be down 26 points at half time. You know.
I block out all the losses, you know, but I remember that one because we were dust.
The special
we
events.
We were dust 20 minutes ago and they were all over us and up the hill as well at Thrumall. That was the last time we played at Thrumall.
Before they moved to the show.
Okay, so look, take the win in special circumstances. Monday night comes along. Lo and behold, who do we draw? Isn't that just like awesome?
It was perfect, perfect draw. It was a perfect draw. Couldn't have been any better. JK did an article the day before saying, you know, he wanted a Leeds derby. I think he called someone at BBC, pulled some strings, and they made it happen.
He is well connected, and I love that.
Everybody wanted Leeds, didn't they? Let's be honest. Yeah. Jordan Lilly wanted Leeds. You wanted Leeds.
I think that's the draw. Everybody wanted, you know,
We've kind of got to be a little bit realistic here. And what I mean by that is there's two bites at the cherry for the Bradford Bulls to get to Wembley. And as the later rounds of the Challenge Cup gets on and the competition becomes tougher and tougher, the reality is it's more likely to be involved in that 1895 Cup. Mm. But from a spectacles point of view, from what the spectators have wanted for a long time, and I include Leeds Rhinos spectators as well in this, they've been salivating at another matchup between the two clubs.
Mm.
It's the famous Super League original local derby. When the Super League kicked off and the two powerhouse teams that grabbed that local derby mantle early early in the Super League years, in the late 90s and early 2000s, it was the Leeds-Bradford derby. That was the most interesting derby. I like to probably argue that it's gone down to Wigan and St Helens now, but probably because of the demise of the Bradford Bulls.
Yeah, you know, I remember our ball boy at that when they were, what were it, 25,000 at that Bradford Leeds game? How much was it?
24,000.
24,000. Our ball boy at that game, and I remember stood outside at pitch and looking around and thinking, this is mental. And, you know, I'd always thought, oh, I'd love to play in one of these games again. And, you know, here's my chance. So I was buzzing about it. You know, I'm from Bradford. I hate every other sports team from Leeds or whatever, surrounding areas. So, you know.
What's the hum on the terraces, Mick?
Oh, everyone's absolutely. It's just gone crazy. You know, no offence to Halifax and Barrow and Rochdale and Toronto, but a lot of people have forgot there's a game on Friday against Halifax because everybody, all this week, they've been, is it going to be on TV? What day is it going to be on? Obviously, they announced today it's going to be on BBC One, prime time, Saturday afternoon, Bradford, you know, Oddsall, it's going to be going to millions of viewers. It's a great advertisement for the city. And not just the city, but the club and the community. And I think it's a good indicator and a good test of where the Bradford Bulls is as a club, because obviously Andrew Chalmers, John Keir, Ross, aspirations to get into Super League. This is a huge test of where the club's currently at.
It is, it is. And there's more than just the playing situation that we've got to be looking at here as well, isn't it? It's about how the match day game is put on and the stadium, how the stadium stands up to all the people coming through again. Because the reality of the fact is, it is one of the oldest stadiums in rugby league. It's famously known that the upkeep of the stadium is just a massive drain on resources. Health and safety, you have to just stay on top of it because you can't put, you know, tens of thousands of people in one spot and not worry about whether or not the concrete's going to crack or where it's going to rumble, because it causes accidents. And that health and well-being is so immensely important to it all. So, look, there's massive interest in this game. It's going to be absolutely fantastic, and I just can't wait for it. I'm going to go to a break now. When we come back, we'll be hearing from the boys as they give us their 30 seconds of jargon. But before we do, let's have a look at the roads.
Pulse 2. Travel.
With Living Well. Walking is simple, free, and one of the easiest ways to get more active. Search Active 10 online.
Live on 1278 and 1530 AM on DAB Digital Radio, on the Pulse 2 app, and online at pulse2.co.uk. This is the Robbie Hunter Paul Show on Pulse 2.
Welcome back to the Robbie Hunter Paul Show, live at the Pulse 2 studios, in the studio with the game caller Mick Little and reggae warrior Ross Peltier. Actually, let's kick straight into our amateur all-star club of the week. And it's once again, we're going to hear from the boys down at Clayton Rugby League, because that's where Ross Peltier was. So we'll hear from Ross and we'll hear from the project that they got on with.
We are here at Clayton Rugby League Club. I've pretty much just joined, but Lee, you've been here all day. Tell us what you've been doing, where you come from, and what your job is here today.
All right, I'm from Huddersfield. I've got a company there called Peak Eating, and initially me and Damien did the site visit to see which one of the sites was going to be the worthy recipient of the heating system. And this place was selected purely because of the state the existing system was in. It was atrocious, it was really bad. So we rocked up this morning at 8 o'clock. We had some good donations from local companies, Empress Fitting, Grundfos Pumps, Wiesmann have obviously donated the boiler, and then about 15 guys from around the country have turned up and they've just hammered the heating system in, basically.
Adam and Tony have been our plumbers today. Now, you work normally through the day for Passmore and they've been supportive of you coming along today, but this is your own time you've given up, isn't it?
Yeah, it is, yeah. I mean, it's not much to give up a weekend, is it? One couple of weekends out of a year, it's barely anything at all, and it's for a good cause. So, and obviously Bradford lad from birth, so why not, yeah?
And I hear you coming back through the week to finish off some things.
You can't start something and not finish it, can you? So,
that's it, when you do such a big job in one day, there's so many things, and one person's job leads on to another, doesn't it?
That's it, yeah. Well, like I say, we got all taps changed and basins changed, so we'll come back for a week and do toilets, and I think we're throwing some tiles on as well,
right.
So
awesome.
Yeah, it's going to look awesome by the end of it.
Next Saturday is the Bradford Cup final down here. Normally it's at Oddsall Stadium, but it's here for the first time.
Wow.
It's a massive event for us. All of this painting and cleaning up and everything that's going on today is going to make a huge difference to how the place looks for that.
It's amazing. I mean, I've only ever seen that, what they've taken out, and I've been looking at it for years, you know. And then when you see it totally out and you think, oh,
Yeah.
Wow. You know, I'd like to thank people that's involved and Pulse Radio and everybody else and that's really worked hard today.
Yeah.
I mean, what a great turnout.
Yeah. The whole community has come together. It's been fantastic. Making cups of tea, there's bringing gloves.
Kids, yeah. Children here, the parents here. You know, look at these guys. They've come from all over the country, from what I've heard. Yeah. You know what I mean? It's absolutely fantastic. It really is. Brilliant. A good day at clubs history. That's what I can say.
And there you go. Ross, your old club, the fella, you're making people famous down there.
Yeah, my old coach, basically, who meant the reason I play rugby league, you know. I'd never have thought of playing it until, you know, he asked me to come down and train with Clayton. And then, you know, after my first game, I can't remember his name, my first game against Siddle, I can't remember his name, I still see him at games, but the scout at Bradford at the time signed me a scholarship after one game.
Oh, right.
Yeah, so then I thought, my dad said, well, you've signed at Bradford after one game, so you might as well keep playing. And then, yeah, rest
see,
is history.
You know, it's an interesting thing there. See, big players, the big lads, that's how they get into rugby. You say, well, you're a big lad.
Yeah.
So go play rugby. But us little blokes, we have to earn our rights.
Yeah.
No one invites us into rugby. We've got to be a little bit broken in the head to be playing a big boy sport anyway. And then we've got to get in there and we've got to earn our way. Yeah. Oh, it's all right. No, we're actually in New Zealand where everyone plays rugby.
Yeah, everyone plays it.
It's just part of the par for the course. All right, we're on to our 30-second round from you guys. You get to choose whatever you want to talk about from the sport of rugby league. Pelts, actually, you normally go first, but I'm going to, because we've got a brand new guest, Mick, I'm going to hand it over to Mick. Mick, We've got a countdown clock. These guys normally go on for
about
like 50,
2 minutes. Yeah,
50 seconds.
Go on forever, me.
they start running out of things to talk about, and then they get their second wind, and then go off on one. So you can choose any topic from the sport of rugby league, and then we'll have a chat about it afterwards. So 3, 2, 1, let's go, Michael.
Right, I'm going to start with the unsportsmanlike conduct that appears to be creeping in the sport at all levels, and we're talking at the ruck, where the dummy half will look and have a glance at who's in the vicinity and deliberately throw the ball. We saw it happen at Oddsall on Sunday, and I want to give the referee, Matt Rosslea, who's Australian, London-based, a big round of applause because he actually penalised Cameron King for doing it, where Cameron King's thrown the ball and Conor Farrell, who was actually behind the play of the ball, so he wasn't offside. Former Super League referee Ian Smith cleared that up. He's not in an offside position if he's behind the play of the ball. So, yeah, it's creeping in at all levels,
Robert. It's almost the ball played the man. So yes. That's an illegal play. Yeah, yes. It's an illegal pass, yes. Playing yes. The ball.
And it's not just purposely happening at Championship level, League One, but we see it in Super League.
Oh, I hate it.
It's.
I'm with you. I hate it.
I agree with what Ian Smith said, because Ian Smith put on Twitter yesterday, he said, the coaches are to blame. He says, you know, look, we as referees, you know, what can we do? You know, we've literally got half a second, a millisecond to decide. As that player deliberately thrown
and
it.
What they'll always do is they'll go back to the letter of the law. And so they'll rest on the letter of the law if there's a player in the ruck or if there's someone that's interfered with the play of the ball and they didn't get a clear stand. They've got to make a decision right there and then they'll go back to the letter of the law. Well, I think what we want from the referees is a little bit more common sense. Like what we see in the NRL, we see a lot of this sort of gamesmanship, as we call it, going on in the NRL. But because there's two referees on the field, there's a lot more communication going on between the two of them. They can make a decision on the hop. And what you see more often than not, they just go, carry on, play on, carry on. Now you threw the ball into them, carry on. And the players are generally ready for it. But what I've noticed over here, the referees are on their own, very isolated place to be when you've got tens of thousands of people calling you every name under the sun. And what can you do? You know, you just got to...
But how do you stamp it out? Does it start with the coaches?
Right,
does there have to be a directive from Robert Elston, from Ralph Rimmer, because it's blighting the game?
They're not going to listen to them. But if the referees talk to the coaches and say, what we're going to do this week, we're going to start penalising people that we believe are bringing the game into disrepute. So if we think that because let's be honest, these hookers, they're not actors. What's taught them how to act? You know, they're trying to tell their lies with their eyes. It's not going on. You can tell when there's the gamesmanship's going on. And you can also tell, I think it should be in their responsibility to clear the ruck, So if a player gets up and stands up, well, that's a referee's decision. But no, so a mandate should go out that if a referee deems that a player has tried to do some of this gamesmanship, then they're going to get penalised. That'll stamp it out straight away. That will stamp it out straight away because you're not going to hurt your own team. If it's you run that risk of that happening, then you're not going to do it. Okay, let's hear from Ross now. So let's do it. 3-2-1. Let's get into it.
Yeah, I've got to talk about this obstruction rule. Really, it's all you see on Twitter when there's a game on Sky, and you know what it is? It's only happening on the TV games, and I think you know the video refs need to use some common sense because we've seen Catalans get robbed of the win. They got robbed of the win against Hull, you know, with that lead runner. We've seen it in the Huddersfield game as well. They got a legitimate try chalked off. We're seeing it every week. And it's only happening on video ref decisions because if the rule was applied everywhere across the board, then there'd be hardly any tries in Championship because there's so many. It's the lead runner running at A. He gets through the line, but because he's run through the line at A defender, you know, the video refs are giving no try for obstruction. Like, how are you ever supposed to have a lead runner? Because, defenders are making bad choices and then it's getting given no choices. And some of them, there's not even, defender's not even made a choice. Like the Catalan one, the defender's not even made a choice. It's like a three-man cutout ball got thrown.
I actually thought both of those.
It would never have got nowhere near it.
And the Catalans game were terrible. Yeah. Mick, what are your thoughts on this? As you can see from the sideline, again, it's kind of tiptoes into what we've just been talking about. Yeah. A bit of gamesmanship, but also referees having to give their own, I don't know, interpretation of whether or not that's impacted on the actual game itself.
I think it needs to just go back to being black and white. If you look at the early years of Super League, Robbie, when the referee...
But this game, I'll say this, they didn't do that play very often.
No.
It's something that's been evolved out of the slide defence. So how can we hold the defence from sliding? Mm. We send through a lead runner. And that means that the edge defenders have to stop. Now, back in those days, start of Super League, we didn't have slide defence. We were sideline to sideline. There was space all over the place.
Yeah, it's one of them, you know. It's the video refs who are making these calls, but they've got to think... Most players can check a mark, check a lead, and then go off again. Yeah. Everybody can do that, and if it takes them like half a second,
if you've got a video ref, you should be allowed to go back and say no, they had nothing to do with the play. They do it down under. Let's learn from the best.
Yeah.
All right, just checking on the time. There, we've got to go to a break. When we come back, we're going to be hearing from you guys. Some of you guys have asked some questions on social media as well, so we'll get to that. So stay with us right here on the Robbie Hunter-Paul Show.
This is the Robbie Hunter-Paul Show on Pulse 2. Across West Yorkshire, online, DAB, 1278 and 1530 AM. This is Pulse 2.
The number of people on the sex offenders register is rising year on year. The stats from 17 police forces show a 10% increase between 2016 and 2018. There were 34,000 listed at the end of last year. A new report claims there'll need to be more new phone mast sites across Bradford to accommodate the rollout of 5G. Plans have now been submitted to Bradford Council. It will eventually provide much faster download speeds for mobile phones and other wireless technology. And the Indian airline Jet Airways has cancelled all its flights. The struggling carrier says talks to rescue it have failed. It claims it has no money to pay for fuel and other critical services.
Pulse 2 Sport.
Paul Clough has been named in the Huddersfield Giants squad for the first time this season. He's one of two changes for the game at Leeds Rhinos on Good Friday. 3 days later, the Giants are at home to London Broncos. We've got a date now for Bradford Bulls Challenge Cup game against Leeds Rhinos. It'll be played on Saturday, the 11th of May. Kickoff will be at 2:30. And full match commentary will, of course, be here on Pulse 2. And in cricket, four Yorkshire players have been included in England's preliminary squad for this summer's World Cup. Joe Root, Johnny Bairstow, David Willey and Adil Rashid are all in there. There's no room for Jofra Archer yet, but national selector Ed Smith says he is on his radar.
He can bowl fast, he's got skill with the ball, he's a clean striker with the ball, he's a very good athlete. He's taken to challenges very quickly. A new cricketing experience has come into his life. He's tended so far to take to it very quickly.
For details on all those stories, go to pulse2.co.uk. That's the latest. I'm James Crossling.
Live on 1278 and 1530 AM, this is the Robbie Hunter Paul Show on Pulse 2.
Welcome back to the Robbie Hunter Paul Show, live in the studio with Mick Little and Ross Peltier. And this is the segment that we give directly over to you guys. So it's the fan segment. You guys ask the questions and we try to answer as best as we can. And the first question I'm going to ask Mick, because Mick reached out to ask his followers what questions they have. So Mick, fire away.
Yeah, it's a question for the man next to me, the reggae warrior, Mr. Ross Peltier. And it's come from Sam Grundy. And he wants to know, Ross, Halifax showed a big improvement against London last Thursday and will want to show that that performance was not flash in the pan. How do the Bradford Bulls try to combat their threats on Good Friday?
You know, I think you've seen, you know, against Fev, we've got that spirit, that team spirit. And, you know, Halifax have got some injuries themselves, you know, they were down to like second string halfbacks and all that. But it's going to be another derby, another tough day. But I think, like for us, you know, that Leeds game, people might say it's a distraction, but, you know, I think everybody's got their eye on that and everyone wants to make sure they've got a shirt for that. So I think everyone's going to be pulling out all the stops every time they're on the pitch, you know, just to make sure that they're in the frame for that game.
The distraction's only for the fans all of us that are talking about it. But you guys, you've got to earn the right to play.
Well, that's what my first thought was, look, I've got to pull out some performances because I've got to be on that team sheet. That's what it is. And, you know, I think we want to make everything right from Fev, you know. I think that Fev game gives us confidence, you know, because we even said at our time, we're playing probably the worst we think we're playing and, you know, the game's still within touching distance.
Now, let's pull it that string a little bit more. The Bulls are, to me and what I've seen, the Bulls are, you guys are a long way off a complete performance.
Oh, yeah, we know that.
That's not a bad thing. Really not a bad thing.
Yeah. It's not, and you know, it's one of them. We know where to we need to work on. And, you know, after the Fev game, JK has said he wants to see a real improvement, really. And, you know, I think that's what the boys want to go out and deliver. You know, it's a great ground to play at, great Friday evening. And, yeah, it'll be a good game.
It's a big one. It's an exciting one. Mick, you know as well as I do, we've been going to these games as long as Ross has been alive. Actually, I'm putting you in my age group there. That's horrible, isn't it?
Mick is not very old.
I'm only 32.
Exactly, yeah.
I know. I've just given you 10 years trying to make you as old as I am. I apologise for that. That's terrible of me. What I meant by that is as long as you've been a supporter of the club.
Yeah.
And because we found out today that Ross was like 18 before he actually touched his first game of rugby. So.
Yeah, well, you know, I've known this man longer than I've known rugby league. I've known him since I was about 4 year old, 3 year old.
Oh, that right? Yeah. Okay. So people get less for murder. So on that note, though, how big are these games? These games, I know what they were like for me to play. And we were talking about the Thrum Hall come from behind a Bradford Bulls. So they were massive. They weren't as big as the Leeds Rhinos game for obvious reasons, bigger stadiums, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Mm. Two of the big branded clubs in the Super League. But they were as emotionally as big.
Yeah, because there's 7 miles between Halifax and Bradford. And, you know, prior to the advent of Super League, historically, you know, Bradford always used to play Halifax on Christmas Day, Boxing Day and New Year's Day. So that was always the big fixture of the season for Bradford Norman supporters. Obviously, Super League comes along and Halifax get relegated in 2001, so it was always Bradford Leeds. But let me tell you, the Halifax fans, if you were to ask anyone in Halifax, what is their number one game, what is their number one fixture, who do they want to play in the Challenge Cup? You see, we're all saying, we want Leeds, but the Halifax fans, they wanted Bradford at the share.
You look, and let's talk seriously, on form, you got to argue that going into this game on Friday evening, Halifax are going to be the on-form team. They're going to be the bookies' favourites. I know you're going to say no, but that's the position of being a professional sportsman.
After the London game, I say yeah, but if you look at their league form and you look at our league form, it's pretty
it's neck
even.
And neck. It's neck even. And neck, yeah.
You know, we're level on points. So yeah, it's all to play for. I think this is, you know,
oh, it's exciting.
Like John
it's
said,
real exciting,
we get through these games and
isn't it tasty?
The similarities even go to the halfback problem. Obviously, Bradford. Obviously, Dane Chisholm's gone to Featherstone. Joe Keyes is still out injured, but you know they've not got no Scott Morrell, so they've got halfback problems as
yeah.
well.
Yeah. So, well, what an awesome way to segue into the next question. Actually, I think you did that on purpose. So we've on the social media stream, we've got at DJ Dan Wagstaff. His question is, why the expletive have we let the legend Dane Chisholm go? Seems crazy to me. Now, I know Chizzy, I know John, and I just don't think the two of them, it wasn't a marriage made in heaven. There's no undenying Chizzy's talent. He is a freak of nature. When he's in the zone, he can do absolutely anything. But I've been around long enough around the game to know that when you've got a talent like that and you've got a certain style of coaching, the two don't always go together. And I think this has been the relationship over the past year and a half has been a great example of that. No one's denying how awesome Dane Chisholm can be. And everyone knows how great, you know, John's been there, done that. But that doesn't mean that these two things come together and work as a marriage made in heaven. I think there's a great opportunity for Chizzy to go and express himself at a club like Featherstone. Now, Featherstone, a massively passionate club that is absolutely one sport town. There's no yeah. other sport around that region in Featherstone, and they'll be able to feed Chizzy's emotional spirit in this regard. So I think that's going to be a great great opportunity for Chizzy to go over there and express himself. Yes, to a certain extent, it is a massive loss to the Bradford Bulls as well, because that sort of talent is hard to come by. But what I also know is when you're talking about success in a team, it's about synergy. It's about how everyone complements each other, and it doesn't. We're not just talking about the players complementing each other. We're talking about the coaching staff. We're talking about the backroom staff. To win competitions and to get the best out of each other, everything's got to work in synergy. And for me, what I've seen, I just don't think that. And to no one's detriment, no one's being more responsible than anyone else. It's just things don't work sometimes. So I personally, obviously, I'm, as a Bulls supporter, I wish the Bulls all the luck. And obviously, as a friend of Dane Chisholm's, I wish him all the luck as well. I think, you know, I can understand the outcry by the Bulls fans letting a talent like that go. But there may be some benefits in the long run as the synergy of the group comes together. Equally, you're probably not going to get that that X factor than what he brings to the field as well. So sometimes it's a rough with this move, and that's just the nature of it.
Do you know, Robbie, since Luke Gale and Ben Jeffries were the halfbacks at the Bulls in 2014, the Bulls have gone through 27 different halfback combinations.
A crazy number like
I
that.
Know we've had the administration and everything, but that's what John Keir needs now, and the club needs consistency and stability.
It does. And look, to all parties involved, we wish you all the very best of luck. All right, we're going to go to a break now. And when we come back, we're going to be looking ahead to the two big sets of games coming up this weekend. But before we do that, let's have a final look at the roads.
Pulse 2. Travel.
With Living Well. Walking briskly for 10 continuous minutes counts as exercise. Search Active 10 online.
This is the Robbie Hunter Paul Show, live on Pulse 2.
All right, welcome back to the final segment of the RHP Show, live in the studio with Mick Little and Ross Peltier. Boys, we come to that segment of the show where we're talking about the upcoming Easter weekend period. Two games in the one weekend. Ross, complain. 3-2-1, complain. 3-2-1, yeah, complain,
yeah.
Come on.
It's a busy time of year, you know, player welfare. Yeah. Especially, I can see like Super League, yeah, I understand, like they want to get the game. But for Championship, you know, lads have got families, they've got jobs, you know. What do you do? It's one of them.
You do this. I think... See, this is the world's smallest violin.
Yeah.
And it's playing a tune for you.
It's one of them.
It's the greatest game on the planet. You should want to play it every day. Just so hard.
The body says no.
This is me, you retired 11 years ago.
What about two opportunities to prove to John Keir you're the man to face the Leeds Rhinos?
I think he already knows I'm the man. I think he already knows that. I'm just finding my groove again.
You telling him every day that you're the man.
Listen,
it doesn't have the same impact as you showing him you're the man.
Yeah, it's going to happen, isn't it? I don't know if I'll play both Friday and Monday because I don't know how my body will be feeling after that. I don't know how I'll be feeling after that. You know, I'm thinking, you know, I could do with a little cigar out on Monday, but we'll see.
That's nice. That's nice. All right. So it's a big weekend for us. So what we normally do is we've got a league table going at the moment. Me and Ross, neck and neck. So we've worked it out, I think we're on 33 points each because we both got three from the last week's game. Elliot's, I think he's on 28 points. So we're pulling away from Elliot. And I think Aaron got three games last week. So he'll be on 27. The online scores aren't updated at the moment. So this is the big weekend for really everyone. Me and you can pull away from these two. Or one of us can have a shocker, or both of us
some difficult games
can have shockers, and those guys can pick up. Because what we've decided to do is choose four games from the Friday, and three games from the Monday. So seven games to score points
derby's
from this
on
weekend.
The Friday.
Or derbies, yeah. So the first game we're kicking off with is Cass versus Wakey. That's on Thursday.
And we're good. I think we should honour Minnie's picks to the game caller because he might help him out.
Okay, so Elliot Mancella,
you can
we're
pick
making
for
an
Minnie.
Executive decision because you've not turned up tonight.
Mick gets your picks.
Mick Gledhill is going to. You know what I nearly said there? Mick Weathers.
Mick Weathers,
yeah.
Not a bad name to be named after, eh? Mick Gledhill is going to choose your team. So he'll either nail it for you or you'll have a good excuse. So,
Cass Wakey. I've got to go Wakefield because they're playing some good stuff. Fafita's got a new deal. Kyle Wood's got a new deal. Everyone's happy in the camp. Mason Caton Brown's come back, you know, and he's a good talent. Cass are struggling that game against Huddersfield. I don't think Huddersfield are better than Wakefield. And
Huddersfield got pushed all the way to Wakefield got pushed all the way to the death. There was only 2 points in their game. There wasn't much in the Cass Wakey game. You know, this little triangle between Kirklees and Wakefield, this little area, it's quite interesting. It's heating up because it'll be under no illusion. Huddersfield has found their form again.
Yeah, they've found the form. But I think after Wakefield, I don't feel after that Wigan win and Cass, you know, still trying to find some form after the Leeds, after the Huddersfield. Yeah, Wakey. Okay.
I've got to agree with Ross. I think, you know, Michael Carter has opened up the checkbook. They've signed the players. They've got a lot of momentum.
Yeah, but you know what happens. Ross will tell you what happens when the player who's playing for a new contract, he plays out of his skin. Soon as he signs it, and let's be honest, Fafita's been the man.
He has
been the man. So as soon as he signs it, I'm good for another 3 years. You know what your players are like.
This is me. I'm dancing for Andrew Chalmers right now. Me, I need a new deal. So he's done this season. So
your thoughts,
Andrew?
Sorry, I cut you off.
Pretty much. I would have explained it just as Ross has done. You know, I think Wakefield have got a lot going for them. And at the start of the season, you know, in my own personal prediction league in my head, I actually had them in the bottom four. And you know, that's well and truly blown into the water now.
They picked up a lot of injuries on the weekend, though. They had two guys out from the field. Danny Bruff has broken his thumb. It all played. You know what? I've just talked myself. I was going to go with Wakefield. I've been backing Wakefield all season long. I can't see Danny playing with a broken thumb. I think that'll be detrimental to the rest
of the year.
He's
a rumour that he might play.
Yeah, I know, but I just can't see that happening. He's a big piece of why they're successful.
Pivotal.
So I'm going to back Cass, and it's because Cass is at home, and they haven't been too far off the pace. But and that goes against everything because I've been back in Wakefield all year since they beat Leeds in the fashion that they did, and Fafita's just been absolutely destroying it, and Danny Bruff has been destroying it, just turning teams around. His kicking's been ace. I chose those two players as my picks because I'm part of the Super League Man of Steel selection, Steve Prescott Man of Steel. I had Fafita and Danny Bruff in my top three. So I think that's the reason why Fafita's now at the top. I'll give him my points anyway. Okay, moving quickly ahead, FC versus KR.
Oh.
Both have hit form.
They won
at Kettleland on the weekend. Kettleland beat St. Helens.
They got robbed. Carlisle got robbed. They should never have won that game.
Okay,
they
so should never win that game. You're saying that you're backing KR and FC.
You know what? Yeah.
Is that what you're doing?
Yeah.
So he's whole KR at FC. Go on, Michael.
I think you've got to go with the black and whites, the early birds. I think they've got a lot of momentum. Now, I know historically, and someone put this on Twitter today, the side that has just come from the south of France, I think it was like 68% of the time, loses the next game.
All right.
Trust me, Lee Radford, a former teammate of yours, Robert, you know his mindset. He will have them absolutely fired up for this one.
All right. Okay, so I'm following you, Michael.
Hull FC for me.
Hull FC. But a lot of the time I'm choosing with my heart when it comes to Redders.
Yeah,
but equally, they've got they've come out this week saying they're getting the checkbook out. When the chairman starts saying looking abroad, the players generally start playing better.
Yeah, it's one of them.
Because they now know that they're competing for their position.
There's a few young lads, you know, played against Catalan and stuff, and I think, you know, them in a whole derby, it's like, you know, getting thrown in at deep end, so can see KR doing a bit.
We're tight on time, so I'm going to move us quickly along. Over 20,000 tickets sold for this one. Got to be the local derby of the round, Wigan versus St. Helens.
No brainer, Saints.
I think this will be the big mix match of the All Easter period. I'm going to say St. Helens, and St. Helens will win by 30 points.
Okay, and then I'm going to go with St. Helens as well. Yep. Okay, what do they call this? The
Heavy Woolen Derby.
Heavy Woolen Derby, yeah. Dewsbury versus Batley. Let's keep it close to home.
It's North Kirklees,
a battle for North Kirklees.
It's hard to call because
at Dewsbury.
Do you know what it is? I think
home advantage.
I see the Rams taking it. You know, I've been with my mate Adam Mitchell today. I've seen him today. So
he's choosing with his heart.
Yeah, I'm choosing with my heart. You know, a few lads I know. Dewsbury. Go on.
I'm going with Dewsbury as well. I'm going with Dewsbury.
Oh, you've left me in a dilemma, you guys. All right. Since you guys are going Dewsbury, I'm going to back Disco and the boys. Let's go Batley. Yep. So we've just got to get a little bit of balance in there. Choosing definitely with I can't say my heart because most of my family from Dewsbury, my wife's family anyway. But anyway, just keeping the balance in the thing. But I think it's one of those 50-50 calls. It can go absolutely anyway. Okay, Monday comes along. Wakey at home to Leeds.
Wakefield.
I know what you guys are hoping for.
Wakefield,
the pump Leeds.
Yeah, Wakefield.
I've not been impressed with what I've seen of Leeds so far this season. I know they've been, they pushed St. Helens incredibly close, but no, I'm going Wakefield.
And they haven't got the depth of squad, you know. If they can't rest nobody, so there's going to be some tired bodies, you know. And yeah, Wakey.
Depth of squad, maybe a bit thin on the quality of squad as well. So, okay. I've got to go with Wakefield as well. They've just been in a good rhythm this year. So we're all agreeing on that. This is an interesting one. Salford at home to Wigan.
I'm going to go Salford. I can see Salford doing it. Salford.
Well, that game's the first of the loop fixtures. They've already played and Wigan won that one, and I'm going to go Wigan. I think Wigan will win again at Salford.
I'm going to go Salford. I'm going to back Salford. That's
it's come with his heart.
Sorry, Minnie, if it don't come in.
And the final pick of the round is York versus the Vikings.
Well, you know, York
at home to the Vikings.
York got pumped by them, I think, the other day, and they ended the game with like 11 men. They haven't got a deep squad. Widnes, you know, full of quality across the board. Widnes again.
I'm going to go with Widnes, yeah. I think York are really struggling now on the fitness of the players.
I'm down with Widnes as well, so I've got to go with them. Hey, that's for us this evening. My thank you to Mick. My thank you to Ross. Love you guys. Thanks for listening wherever you are. Bye-bye.
This is the Robbie Hunter-Paul Show on Pulse 2.